Welcome to episode 5 of White Belt Radio. We have Pete here, got Tony over there.
Hello.
We got Yanni.
What's up?
And we got Cyrus.
Hey.
So guys, we got our new audio set up. How are you guys digging it so far?
I want to fart into the mic.
Everybody's got a mic.
Loving it.
That's cool, but everybody's got to remember to not talk at the same time.
Yeah, I want to fart into my mic.
I might. Go for it.
Nah, I don't have one right now.
I'm too nervous.
I can't fart when I'm nervous.
So guys, what's new? What's going on in your jiu-jitsu life? We did this way too late. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah. No, that's fine. It's fine. We this will be good. This will be interesting. Uh-huh. We'll go with it.
I got some shit I want
to
say.
Say some shit, bro.
Can you say it into the mic?
Yeah.
You can't hear me?
No, you're too low.
Dude. Turn me up, dude.
That's good. More?
Uh-huh. Turn me up low.
All right.
Cool, but no.
That's good. Are you gonna? You got to keep talking. However you're going to hold it, that's how it's got
to
be.
Okay.
All right.
Right to your face. All
right, what do you want to say? You want to talk about your wrestler friend?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to ever hear this. No, that I'm talking about him. But he did show me some sweet takedowns this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Nice.
I can't wait to show you guys. It was awesome.
Bro, you can't show them on me.
Huh?
You can't show them on me.
What do you mean?
I'm going to stop you.
They're pretty sweet.
I don't know, bro.
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you then.
All right.
I'm going to save it for you.
I'm not going to lie.
It's like a cool deke. Like you shoot in for one leg.
A deke?
Yeah. Is another word?
I don't like that word. I don't want you to...
I feel like this mic in our hand has given us all feel like we have some weird authority that we
yeah,
don't
it's kinda,
have.
You're like, all drunk with power.
Yeah. Look at me like this mic like I'm doing Price is Right. Or like.
I gotta say, I'm pretty jealous I don't have one. I'm talking over this mic in the center. Like, just got my hands free.
But anyways, I was gonna say that there was a new crop of white belts came in this week.
Oh yeah, you were telling me.
Oh yeah.
And I fucked them up.
Yeah?
I was about to say, you got me nervous. When you first told me about the text of you messing up those white belts, I'm like, oh, dang. He's on another level now.
No. I'm not on another level at all. I'm the same guy I was last week.
Yeah, but I'm the
but
same
But now you
guy.
Know.
But now I know that yeah. I've been working for something because I was able to beat some guys who don't know what they're doing.
I'm and the same guy 3 months ago. That's a problem.
So you're starting to reap the benefits of your training.
I feel that way.
Yeah.
I felt like it was pretty obvious when... these like dudes who have been in fights, like one of them was a cop, and he's on like I don't know, permanent leave. I didn't want to ask him why, but he's like, yeah, so I'm gonna train every day. I was like, all right, cool, man. He's like covered in like Asian tattoos,
and he had just started.
Yeah, he had had a go around once before, but this was his like first time back.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it to him pretty good. I mean, he was making stupid mistakes, mm-hmm. but I was like seeing him like, oh, don't do that.
What kind of mistakes?
I can do this. Like he's in my guard, and he was like. Putting his head on my,
oh, yeah,
putting
yeah.
his forehead on my chest.
Oh yeah, that reminds me.
And I was like, oh, perfect.
Boy,
so I was throwing all the platas, and I was taking his back super easy, and he was like, wow, you're really good at taking backs. I'm like, no, I'm not. But I guess on you, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know what I mean?
If it's there, like you see it.
It was yeah. totally there. Yeah, I was just hipping out, grabbing his belt, and yanking him into my lap. And there he is. You know.
Yep.
It felt really cool. I'm not gonna lie. And there was another guy, super strong, but I was. Floating on top of him, I was mounting him. He'd try to get out of it. I'd float to neon belly. I was just like floating all around him, you know.
Say float again.
Float.
Yeah. Sorry, it just sounded really cool. I got the headphones.
I'm not a big guy. That's what I got to do. I got to float around. But I can't hold mount for shit. So if I start to get bucked, I just go straight to neon belly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really
I'm
nice.
I'm not
that.
Holding anything. I'm not hanging on to any sinking ships anymore. I'm getting the fuck out of there. You know what I mean?
That's good, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really valuable to have those people who aren't quite on your level yet because you get that practice, you get those reps in.
It was the first time I ever tapped anybody on own plata.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's my favorite, dude.
First time ever.
My favorite one.
Yeah. I almost got it again on him the second time.
That was the first thing I really felt like was my weapon.
Really? The mm-hmm. first one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's
like,
a complicated.
It wasn't like a cross collar choke or anything like that. That shit never works, dude.
Yeah, I've never.
It
done
never
it.
Works.
I've never done it because everybody knows.
You yeah. speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Really, you've gotten it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I mean, yeah. You know, I've gotten it a couple times, but it's always on people like the people who walk in. You know.
Even people who walk in, I have a hard time with.
Oh yeah.
Cross collar for some reason. I said like I'm too obvious with it.
Oh yeah, I think you know? I am too. Yeah. Definitely.
I always thought it was really weird. Omoplatas and triangles are the two things that I never got used to doing. Oh, sorry. I never got used to doing at all whatsoever.
Triangles?
Triangles I'm terrible at. When Tony, he like sneaks those on you.
This goes back to you being a top heavy player, you know, because you stay on top, and then triangles aren't as obvious on top unless you're doing like a mounted triangle or something like that, you know, or something from like side control. But that's usually you don't go for something like that. Mm-hmm. It's usually a guard type position, something off your back.
And that's what I tried to implement more into my game, mm-hmm. and then that in body triangles, because I said
body triangles are sweet.
That's money, and I have a size for it.
I never use that. I should, but
it's when Pete does it to you, it is excruciating.
Yeah. Do you only do that when you have someone's back?
There's that ankle lock, though.
You got to be careful of the ankle lock for sure. You got to be super mindful of it. And I've gotten better at releasing it before they get to that side. But you always got to be mindful of it.
Yeah, every time I've done it, that's why I don't do it. When I first started doing it, like my coach or whoever I was rolling with, all of the blue belts, they would just roll their side and boom.
Yeah,
I'm done.
You can get better at keeping them on the good side. They're supposed to be on. Okay. You can use that leg that your body. You can use this leg right here, the one that's
post out.
Yeah, to post out or to lift their leg away from that side,
like so a back hook, like back leg.
Exactly,
hook?
Okay. So they can't roll over to that side. But eventually, I do lose it, and I have to either switch to the other side body triangle or switch back to normal hooks. Mm-hmm. So you got to be very fluid in there and not get trapped in there.
So don't lock up too tight.
Yeah. You can even use it from guard if the guy's got a small waist, but it kind of locks you in there for, it just punishes them and keeps them in position, but it's kind of hard to escape your hips to do anything
else. It's mostly a thing when you have someone's back, right?
Correct. Got yeah, it. But once you get it, it's rough. It's rough to get out of, you know, unless they know what they're doing. I've gotten some new guys in that. I felt super bad because they had no idea how to get out of it.
I still don't know how to get out of it. You showed me like 5 times.
Yeah.
Every time.
When's the last time you trained?
It's so long.
You haven't trained since the last podcast?
That was last week.
No.
So give me your goddamn microphone. Why am I the one holding this weird thing?
You don't know how to hold the weird thing? I can totally switch with you.
That's funny.
Like, it looks like a weird...
Like, it looks like a robot penis.
Something from Ghostbusters. I feel like
it's supposed to
Ghostbusters. Like the trap from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I brought a friend in.
Yeah.
To open mat last weekend. It was his first roll. I didn't want him rolling with anybody other than me. He could have rolled the black belts, but the black belt or the brown belts, but I didn't want him to get too freaked out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wait, so he had never trained before, no technique, no nothing?
He went to like one lesson with me and in like another gym.
Okay.
Yeah, that I was checking out before I joined the last gym.
Uh-huh. Do we know him?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
And
what's his name? Full name.
Should I say
where,
it?
Where does he live?
Travis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, he came, and then my coach was like, be very nice. I was like, yeah, man, of course I'm going to be nice.
Then whoop his ass.
No, the only thing I did, I wanted him to get the feel of it more than like, this is how you're going to get choked, you know? Uh-huh. So if I were to put him in like a guillotine, when I put him in a guillotine or set up a cross collar, I was literally just like sitting there with it, just threatening for him to get used to it.
Right.
Before I was like, trying to take life out of him, you know?
Yeah.
Because I want the fool to come back. I want to train with him.
Yeah.
And he seemed pretty positive. It's just like, it's just the price of, is that's, really that.
That's a big area.
Yeah.
What do you call it?
To get people to come in when it's a
barrier to entry.
Yeah. But I try to explain it to people like, it's just a ton of money, but it's so worth it.
It's so worth it.
And it's hard to justify it to someone who's not doing it.
You have to be in the middle of it. Like now I if I only had food and jiu-jitsu, I'd be good with expenses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And shelter and whatever.
I feel like it's a necessity. Like it's just like it's power.
Like, that's
it's like
the last thing I'll cut out before like food and stuff like that, you know? Like normal stuff.
I don't need to watch movies.
I don't need cable.
Dude,
like we just go to jiu-jitsu.
Think about it, dude. If somebody's going to like a Globo gym and they're doing and they're getting personal training. It's like $90 an hour.
For personal training?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Fuck yeah.
$90 an
hour.
Those
guys make a shit ton of money.
Holy shit.
Yeah, or they charge a shit ton of money. This is at like a normal gym.
Then again, like a private lesson is like $100 an hour minimum.
At a jiu-jitsu gym?
Yeah,
I'm talking about like, okay, if this guy just wants to work out.
Yeah, I got
you. He's paying the membership and he's getting some guy to show him what's up, which is what we do every day in class.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy shows us what to do
mm-hmm.
and then kills us. It's not that expensive. When you put it against like what other people do to get in shape, I mean, it costs money to get in shape.
Yeah, but like an expensive gym membership is like $50, you know? I would say so.
I pay like $17 a month.
See? Mm-hmm.
For like
Diamond Hills was $50 and that was like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, so, I'm so used to paying a shitload of money because I did CrossFit for so long. I was paying $200 a month.
$200? That's more than my jiu-jitsu.
Actually, it was $150 a month. But
that's still
it's right in the ballpark of my jiu-jitsu.
It's $150 a month, which is what I'm paying now for my jiu-jitsu, basically. So I forgot the days where I paid $50 and
don't do that.
Overthought it.
Don't do that with the mic because it sounds like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so used to paying a shitload of money that it isn't. I don't even think about it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've gotten so much for that money.
Yeah. Especially if your jiu-jitsu gym has like some weights and stuff like that and they do some strength and conditioning. You can accommodate that. Doesn't your HQ do that? Because they got the setup.
Yeah,
I see
they
on your
a cryo thing in there too.
They have a cryo thing?
Dang. I'd be so sick. Yeah, so anyways, there was a couple moments that were interesting because it's not very often you get a person who's brand new, you know, first role. But there was some instinct that I forgot that I used to have that he was doing. Like he would, when he was in my guard, you know, he'd rest his head on my chest, right. You know, not posture up.
Right.
And then there was like when he was trying to pass my guard, he'd put all his weight on me and kind of, and then I'd be lifting him pretty much. I had control of his body weight, but he thought he was doing something good.
Right.
But then it was just like scissor sweep, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, and then I was just like telling him little pointers like that. And I realized like, even as a white belt, you really know a shit ton of things.
Yeah.
You do.
Totally.
And like, you might not be the best at them, but you really, like, you know the concept.
Yeah.
I love the concept. By the end of white belt, you're starting to get a pretty sweet vocabulary. Yeah.
I mean, you get whooped for a long time, and that teaches you a shit ton of, you know, things.
It's almost like you're better in your first couple days of jiu-jitsu than you are in your subsequent, like, 3 months because you've started playing the game a little bit. You know, with your first few lessons, you kind of have white belt magic because you just do weird shit that people don't expect. But then once you start learning the game a little bit, you start playing it, but you play it badly.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
So you're
more predictable in terms of jiu-jitsu. But if you just come in and spaz out, people are like, what the fuck are you doing? And then they have to accommodate that weird motion. Whereas if you roll with somebody who knows the things that you're supposed to do in jiu-jitsu, it's more predictable.
Yeah, I remember that.
There was definitely a different body language that he was giving off. Like when he his knees hit the ground, it was like thud.
Right.
And with us, it's like,
you expect it. You anticipate it. Yeah. There's a couple also unintuitive things I learned. Like I was helping out another white belt, and I had him in my guard, and just like you're saying, he was posturing, pushing into me and putting all his weight on me. And I had to break it down for him. Like, I know it's counterintuitive, but you're not supposed to put your weight on me. You can kind of annoy me from that position, but ultimately it puts you in a bad position.
I remember putting my hands on the ground.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. And they explained to me like, oh, you don't want to put your hands on the ground. Like, I don't want to put my hands on the ground.
It's gonna help me get up.
Yeah. And I was like, he was like, yeah, like if you watch like the pros, it's like, you know, they're like tapping the ground and they're releasing back just to like get quick balance and get back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in my head, I was like, does this guy like just screw me over? Or,
it just
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. They just set you up for failure.
It so really just does not
have
make
chum
sense.
In the water.
Well, didn't Cyrus's boxing gym that he do that? Didn't they just start punch him in the fucking head like the first day he went there? Just trying to sabotage his boxing career with concussions?
I saved my life. Sabotaging
that. I think that's a thing at boxing gyms. That's what Bill Burr was saying, was that Charlie Murphy, the late, great Charlie Murphy, came up to him once after Bill Burr said he started boxing, and Charlie Murphy laughed and he's all like, listen, man, they're going to tell you, like, you're going to be there for a couple months, and then they're going to come up to you and be like, hey, man, you look pretty good. You look pretty good against that bag. Why don't you get in the ring? And that's just, they're just looking for fresh meat, you know? They just want to beat up on somebody. That's a thing that they do at boxing.
Yeah.
And then Bill Burr was laughing. He's all like on the button, like a couple months in, somebody comes up to him and asks him the same thing.
Looking good, man.
Yeah. So it's either that or they want to put you through the fire to see if you're going to stick around or not. So it's kind of like a test.
But don't you feel like that's fucked up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after joining jiu-jitsu where everybody's super nice.
Because I remember, Cyrus, and I'm going to tell a story for you.
What story?
That one time you came to my house and your ear was like swollen.
Oh, yeah.
Like tripled in size because somebody punched you in the fucking ear.
Well,
and I was like, all right, you should probably quit that gym. Like, why are they beating the shit out of you? You did the fuck?
Is there something I'm missing? I mean, this is WAPL Radio again.
Maybe I'm missing something, but that sounds like bullshit to me. Like, you don't just go into a gym and they start fucking... ankle locking you when you don't even know what the, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what's going on. That's fucked up.
Just choking you out.
Yeah.
Putting you to sleep every time until
maybe
you
I'm
learn.
New school. Maybe that's the old school. Maybe.
I was tapping. Well, no. The first week, we don't care about tapping.
First week?
You're out or nothing.
You're out or nothing. It's our initiation.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's the old school. Maybe that's how they did it in jiu-jitsu too. Maybe they would beat the fuck out of you.
Do you guys do whipping at your promotions?
No, we don't do that.
You guys
aren't super informal. We don't,
I get a big old hug
formal,
from
but
they whip at ours?
Not at ours, oh, but there are gyms that like whip you when you get promoted.
It's a little weird.
It's like a gauntlet. Like
I would do
stands.
It. Look, you know, like I would do it. But
like tie you up to a tree and whip you?
I wouldn't want to.
Like you run through everybody and they whack you with their belts.
Yeah.
Okay. You see like YouTube videos of it.
It got really dark for a second.
I mean, we can do that when we open our gym.
Yeah, I almost I almost broke a guy's arm the other day.
You almost broke a guy's arm?
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. I think I freaked out more than he did. I didn't want to hurt anybody, man. It was, you know, it was like, it was, I felt disgusting after, but like, I don't know how it happened. Like, this guy's, he's pretty big. He's like 6'4", 6'5", and he had me a mount, and I was like, all right. So I get on my side, I, you know, put my hand on his hip, and then, you know, the transition happens out of there, and I'm in his side control. You know, I put my shoulder down, put the Kimura in, and the guy starts to straighten his arm from the Kimura, because I'm pretty close to closing the Kimura. And he straightens his arm, so arm bar, you know? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I set up, and he has really long arms. So, like, I have to adjust a little bit to, like, you know, get the arm bar right. And then he feels the arm bar come in and then whips it back into Kimura mode. And then where he whipped it back into Kimura mode was, like, breaking arm, like, area.
Oh.
So as soon as he put it back in, it was like, ooh. No joke. That was exactly what it sounded like. And then he went, ah, tap. And then like as soon as like I heard the crack, I was like letting go, and he was screaming, you know. And then he was just like, oh, and I was like, oh my god. Like I thought I like, you know, spiral fractured this guy's arm.
It sucks, but, man, but it's part of the game, you know.
Like I don't know how it happened, I'm gonna be honest. It was just like,
I mean, this stuff's so violent that it can happen like that.
Yep.
It doesn't even sound like you did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Let alone go into a ring and punch someone in the head. You know what I mean?
I'm really safe with Kimuras too. That's what gets me. I'm really safe with it. Like sometimes people are so flexible, I just let go. I'm like, I don't like where that's going.
Yeah.
I just let go, and I'm like, I could, you know, screw the submission. Like, I'm not going to break this guy's arm.
Right.
That's happened to me like dozens of times.
I slow down quite a bit once I get into close to the submission.
Yeah.
You know, just to be careful.
Yeah.
So, but still, like, some weird shit happens. They twerk and move in weird ways, and it gets weird.
Yeah.
So
it's violent enough without being a dick.
Yeah,
you
right?
Know? Just jiu-jitsu itself is violent.
That's why dicks make it so much worse, you know? Like, everybody's playing this game of where it's kind of dangerous, you know? But so, like, if you have some dickhead in there, he's messing the whole thing up, you know?
Yeah. We do. We have one guy that, like, nobody wants to roll with.
You think he knows?
I don't know.
That's what I wonder. Am I that guy? You know?
He doesn't come to class.
You're probably not. If you're thinking about it, you're probably not.
Yeah. He doesn't come to class. He doesn't learn technique. He just comes to like marathon rolls.
He just comes
to fight people, dude. This guy's looking for violence.
Yeah.
And I've said, you know, I've kind of hinted.
Uh-huh.
Like talking with some guys at the gym. Yeah, you know, okay, you know.
You talking to other guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, are you talking about him? I'm like, oh, they know too.
They know,
you
know
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just me.
We have a guy like that.
Really?
Yeah. He's not that bad, though. It's just a product of him being big and good, basically.
Is that me?
No, this guy's not very good. Just Cyrus. It's not you. If it was Cyrus, would you tell him?
I remember initially when I started.
I can't tell with Cyrus because I roll with him differently than everybody else does. I take it to him.
Well, it's like, here's the thing.
Like the first day, like I gave maybe like the first quarter of our first roll, I was light on him, and I was like, I can't be light on him. I have to go 100%. You know.
So that
I don't think I can
Mike
go
in
light
the face.
That's the pro and con to rolling with Pete is.
I'm not gonna fuck around with you.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around, but that's awesome because sometimes I get so tired of rolling slow with someone. That's actually part of the. I initially started. Not going just because it kind of got frustrating having to go so slow with some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's like higher belts over there that can destroy you. But I had like a stretch where like every time I went to the gym, I left the gym and I'm like, I still have energy. Still have all this like.
That happened to me today.
And it's weird, but like every time I roll with Pete, I'm exhausted. If anything, I'm walking out of there. If I have energy, it's energy from the fact that like I'm in excruciating pain. Like yeah. I just got wrecked.
I've been there.
You know, I'd like to think that I'm not egotistical when I go in there, but if I'm with you, I'm like, no, I have to basically prove like to myself that being two and a half years ahead of him, I have to beat him.
I don't think I would be able to. I would even get the chance to be nice to Cyrus.
Exactly. That's another thing.
I would have to turn it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's another factor in this.
And my game is mostly just using a lot of my weight too. So my game's not nice to begin with. And I think I was telling Tony one of this is like a lot of my stuff is about putting you in really uncomfortable positions and waiting for you to slowly do something dumb to get out of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is awesome, but it's really like it's a dick move if I think about it. Like honestly, a lot of people are doing very smart things where they can flip you your back and then they put you in a nice position. Mine is just kind of hold you tight and close.
No, I feel that.
And then
there's like predatory aspects to it. Yeah.
Again, white belt radio. That's why you gotta keep training, Cyrus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna go back.
Qualify for a white belt anymore.
Yeah, man.
Oh yeah. The white belt is the start, like, which is legitimately what I mean.
Let's talk practically for a second. Like you're just gonna keep telling us the same stories over and over, and everybody's gonna get bored of it. You have to go to the gym so you can hear and get more stories. You know.
What are you talking about? Well, what if I'm going to another gym with the behind
that,
your back?
That'll work. That's fine. Then you'll have something new to talk about. Then like, I'm big. I can't roll with people.
That's not even the case, though.
Are we, yeah.
I can't even. I'm not even thinking about what I'm saying right now. This is way past my bedtime. I'm supposed to be in bed right now.
I know. It just hit me.
Like I've been kind of listening to you guys. Just like, just trying to hold on to a couple words at a time, so I can like, okay, if the conversation comes to me, I think I can talk. God damn, I've gotten old. It's only 9:40. So? What else?
Sorry, so are we going to roll this week? Are we going to be able to roll this week? Or you guys got class every night?
I don't usually roll at nighttime. We can arrange something.
Yeah, we can totally
use it. Tomorrow night and I gotta stay here till about 7.
Hey, maybe Friday. We can come back and re-record this podcast. This is going bad. I can't hear you, man. No, it's still good. We'll still put it up. Yeah. Yeah, man. I gotta admit that I went to class today hoping to change of subject. To beat up on a white belt that took it to me last week, and I had squatted the day before and I was worn out and I couldn't beat him. But I just held him off and I was like, oh, you're going to be there today. I'm going to go in. I'm going to whoop your ass. I'm going to show you what's up.
Isn't that the worst?
That's like, so bad to have in your mind like that.
Sometimes I'll modify like supplementary workouts just so I don't get my ass whooped when I go in.
Yeah, I just wanted to prove to him my power because he probably is like, man, I beat up that blue belt, you know? Yeah. Fuck you.
That exists, man. If I was a blue belt, I'd be like, I would be working so hard just to defend that shit.
Yeah.
Like, that would be my motivation.
That's the point, right?
Yeah, kind of, but you can't like.
Hey, why are you on white belt radio, man?
Toxic.
Because I got the recording.
About the vote, shit about. The vote Pete off the island.
All right.
Hey, you ain't a white belt, man.
All right, how about whoever can tap me can vote me off the island?
Use that against me.
All three of us, man.
All three of us.
White belt stop.
But I was hearing. Listening in on a conversation with between a brown belt and a black belt, and they were saying that if anybody taps them, they'll think about it for weeks.
No way.
Yeah, they'll think about it for weeks, trying to anticipate like next time they're going to see him, what they did wrong and how to beat them. And I was like, I feel better about myself.
Yeah, I had some brown belt punish the fuck out of me the other day. I tried no-gi for the first time ever.
Uh-huh.
I've never done no-gi, so
how'd you like it?
I'll get into the story. So it was cool. It was different. It was foreign.
Mm-hmm.
I look back at it. I'm like, man, I should have tried going like X. You know, I was trying to look for grips. Like instinctively, even when we first started, I was gripping. I was like, oh shit, you know, like the conditioning is going to take a while to get used to. But then I started like, you know, cupping the back of the calf and stuff, the ankle. But yeah, ankle locked, knee barred. It was just like it was all instantaneous shit.
Someone knee barred you?
Yeah, it was a brown bet, and I was just like, oh man, like he can knee bar me in no gi. Like I don't know the rules here, but I put him in a guillotine. I didn't even know how to fucking do the guillotine right, like with no, you know, like the.
You gotta be really mean.
Like there's like a, you know, crunch and then like the Marcelo
Marcelotine.
Yeah, kind of style. that was like way, I guess, way better on your opponents or your teammates to do that way than to just like pull up with your back and like try to rip out their spine kind of thing. So I think I got punished for doing that. But it was foreign. That's the only way I could really explain it. Yeah. But I would want to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it transfers over. I mean, people will argue like the efficacy of no gi versus gi, but gi guys will say that it's easier to transfer from gi to no gi because you're only you're losing the gi, but the fundamentals are there. But if a no gi guy goes to gi, you're adding a whole new dimension to
the game. Oh, totally. I can see that.
So, but you know, no gi is probably gonna be better at no gi. But I train predominantly gi, but I did enter a tournament and beat a predominantly no gi school guy.
Oh, yeah,
which was interesting, you know.
What'd you beat him with?
Just points, yeah. But yeah, it was interesting. Sorry, just shut that conversation down.
No. I was about to say, I really liked no gi.
It's just fun. It's fast.
It's slippery. It's really fast.
But I like how it adds other elements to your gi game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started making no gi grips in the gi. You know, because people don't expect it either. You know.
Yeah.
What's a no gi grip?
Like, for instance, it's like a wrestling grip. You go behind the arm, for instance, and that's like a handle. You know what I mean? Or you make a grip like that on the wrist.
Mm. So you just grab people's wrists and shit.
Yeah. It's about finding grips that you can make on the person rather than the clothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of wrestling stuff. That's why wrestlers are really good at.
Yeah, I think I'd be totally lost without.
When you first started.
You just got to adjust, maybe, instead of holding like a...
Exactly. Once you...
The sleeve.
My point is that once you learn the grips, a lot of it transfers over.
Yeah,
it's just learning how to make the grips.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of other things to think about, but that's one of the main hurdles that you go through when you first train. And then another hurdle is your conditioning, because it's way faster. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different kind of conditioning.
Yeah, it's way sweatier.
Yeah, it's way sweatier. I was training no-gi today, and someone just... slipped right out of my hand.
Decisions have to come. I felt like decisions had to be made more quickly.
Correct.
Yeah. I had a lot of chances to do something, but I was thinking, you know.
Right. Sorry, what were you about to say?
I was going to say, there's one thing that I picked up off of no-gi that I implemented in my gi without even thinking about it. The whole gripping the elbow, the natural handle. Mm-hmm. Trying to get to
keep the microphone in front of you.
Oh, sorry. You move your hand. Sorry. Yeah. So trying to grab that elbow or the handle and then pulling down and being able to get their back. It was an amazing
drag?
What? I think it was a sort of arm drag. Uh-huh. And then it helped help me get this guy's back way easier than I've ever done before. And I thought that was a very cool thing that I don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
But now that was implemented. A lot of the judo side control stuff. Is that the one where you have like the two legs and then you, their heads right here? Or you're like this, like laying on the
side. I believe that's a blowjob.
Yeah, I know. You're in side control and then you turn towards north. You have your hips facing north towards the
Yeah,
north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
I just wanted to leave you out there.
Like, hey, awesome. I was perfect.
You're drowning, and I threw you a rock. I threw you a fucking cinder block.
It's funny. No, but the guy who teaches us a lot of the no-gi classes, he showed that one, and it's honestly become my favorite when it comes to side control, just because a pain to get out of.
Yeah,
and I would never even think about it if without those classes.
Yeah, you got to be careful not to put your weight too far back because it can catch you in a triangle. You got to keep it a little forward on their chest, you know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Have you guys ever trained any kickboxing or anything like that?
Nah, man, I want to.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, how'd you like it? Are you gonna get back into it?
Well, no, I did when I was in college.
Would you get back into it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so fun.
I just did my first kickboxing.
The only thing is, you just go around looking for fights.
Really?
Yeah, man. You looking for it? Like, fuck, I wish this motherfucker would. Just walking his dog and his family. But yeah, like the other day, I was just sitting on my couch, and some guy like walked my driveway.
Some crackhead, huh?
No, he was just like wearing a uniform or something, like he was working. Yeah, he walked right by my window.
Not like an army uniform. It wasn't Kim Jong-un.
No, it was like I don't know.
That happened once when I was here.
Stupid shirt, yeah. And he walked in. He turns back, walks out, and I open the door, like, blow his ass out.
I did the exact same thing.
Yeah. He just got in a van and drove away. I was like, the fuck?
Was he like, hey, is this A or B?
No.
Okay, well, I think I know what you're talking about.
No, he's like, yeah, he just came.
It was a normal ass van, huh?
Hightail it out. Yeah, what you doing over here? But anyways, I was looking for a fight with this guy.
Yeah.
I walked out here like, oh, this is wrong day, dude. I trained today.
Exactly what I did. I was like, hey.
I had a thing happen. I was working in an apartment. I was changing a water heater. And then the tenant from next door comes up to me and he's all like, hey, can you get this guy out of my apartment? I was like, well, excuse me? And he's all like, yeah, there's a guy in my apartment that is just hanging out. He won't leave. And I'm like, I'm not the cops. Like, I can't do that, you know?
Holy shit.
Yeah. And he's all, well, could you please come over and help? I'm like, okay, I guess. Like, I just went over there. But the guy only spoke Spanish. So we went and got another tenant who spoke Spanish. And we got him in there to start talking. And the guy was fucked up. He was just drunk hanging out on this old guy's couch. And he wouldn't leave. And the old guy didn't speak Spanish. I didn't speak Spanish. We only had this extra tenant.
They didn't know him?
They didn't know him. Apparently, he just walked in off the street and started hanging out with this old guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, what, man? I'm just chilling.
Yeah, and I was like, God damn, like,
good. Ottawa was a free country.
Yeah, my Spanish is so bad that I would only be able to say, like, hey, like, leave. And if he tried to talk to me again, I'd just be like, leave. Like, that's all I'd be able to keep saying. Like, like barely leave. I'd be like, andale, time to go. You know,
like, I know, like, Taco Bell. Like, I know, like, Taco Bell Spanish. Like, that's
exactly. Terrible, terrible Spanish. And then I realized that I kind of got a taste for what a it's going to be a weird analogy, but like a cop that doesn't know grappling or any kind of fighting, I kind of got a taste of how they might overuse violence in a threat set type situation, you know? So the argument for police to learn jiu-jitsu or grappling is that they have more steps to take on the way to using their pistol before they escalate to that point.
Yeah,
so for instance, if they don't feel like they can defend themselves, they're more likely to take out a pistol earlier, and it could lead to premature cop shootings and stuff like that. Whereas if they know grappling, they can subdue the person easier. And in my situation, because I didn't know Spanish and I couldn't talk to the guy and explain to him that this guy doesn't want you here anymore, it's time to leave, you know, let me walk you to the bus stop, let me help you, whatever it is, you know, I couldn't talk to him. So my only thing was like, leave or else choke him out. Like, I didn't have any other options, you know? And that was total escalation. It was not the right move to make.
That's probably that's probably what I would have done too.
You know, exactly. It's like, like, just give him an evil eye and be like, dude, you know, I'll just choke you out and take you outside, you know? It won't be a problem. You're drunk, I'm completely sober, and actually a little pissed off. So just,
you think like that cop thing makes sense to me, where they have more steps in between, you know, violent force.
Yeah, because if it's some overweight cop that can't defend himself, he's way more likely to use his gun.
But what if, and I'm not trying to start an argument or anything, but would you do that if you had jiu-jitsu skills as a cop, or you'd just be like, listen, I'm just defending myself 100% and getting home tonight?
You're saying to go to the gun,
like,
first?
Yeah, if you just, like, pulled out your gun and is like, I can't lose in this situation. Because, like, in a grappling match, you could lose.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, CQB.
Right. Well, here's the way I see it, is that you have more tools in your tool belt. You know, you have more options, you know?
You
can go. If you deem it's, if you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu and you deem it's necessary to use your pistol, fucking use your pistol.
You got to trust that judgment.
Yeah, that's your judgment as a jiu-jitsu player, as well as a cop, you know? But at least you have more weapons, you know. You don't have to kill the person.
There is no,
you know, if he's just a drunk asshole, you might be able to just subdue him, choke him out, get him in a kimura, do something, you know. Whereas if you're overweight and you can't, he's just gonna overpower you, you know. Like, you're probably gonna just kill him with your gun, you know. Because, and I guess that's kind of understandable, you know, if you put the cops in these weird positions. But at the same time, I think they should learn a little bit of that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, yeah. They also give them, like, the shittiest guns, too, you know?
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know enough
so,
about
like,
guns.
They, let alone the training for jiu-jitsu. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Like, it'd be sick if they learned jiu-jitsu. Like, I'm totally for that.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense, especially in this climate.
Yeah.
But
yeah, with all this,
who's going to pay for it right now is the question. You know?
Absolutely learn.
Something to be added to that, too.
I wouldn't doubt that jiu-jitsu schools give them discounts.
Yeah,
CrossFit gyms gave discounts.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, 50% off.
So to be added to that too is, if you think about it, if you did jiu-jitsu for so long, you might be even able to size up a person when you see him. If you do a ton of competitions,
I size up everybody now.
Yeah, so you're able to get a good idea of, like, how well you're gonna do against a person just by looking at him.
And
you so gotta follow even, your mouth with the mic.
Oh, sorry.
You turned, I can't hear you.
Oh, so I mean, think about going into the gym and looking at someone and saying, right off the bat, I have a good idea that I can actually take this guy down. Versus, and I'm sure that black belts, brown belts have developed this idea way more than us, just because they've done it for so many times, or for so long, for so many times in competitions and all that, to the point where it's natural to them.
Yeah,
so they can decide.
I don't know if I size up, but I definitely think strategy. Like, how would I take? What would right. I do with that person?
Mm-hmm. Right. Which direction would I run?
He's kind of yeah.
Yeah, that's always a choice. Yeah,
that's what they say. Running is the best self defense.
Yeah, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. But there's other things, like if there's other people there, if you're walking with your girl or something like that, yeah. You can't run fast.
That's why you carry marbles.
What if they can't run
you
fast?
You break your leg and you run it.
I'm the fastest motherfucker on the planet when I'm scared. Can nobody catch me? I'm so fucking fast.
Tony,
I'll gas out quick.
You jump across rooms if you're scared. I'll run. You're Superman.
It doesn't matter where I am either. I'll run straight to my parents' house. I don't need a GPS or anything. I'll find it.
You just instinctively travel in that direction.
Instinctively run.
like Muslims always pray in the direction of Mecca. Yeah. You just run automatically to your parents' house. Yeah. What else, guys? That's it. Huh? I don't even think we hit half.
Fucking squeeze.
That's okay.
Half. Yeah.
We
36 minutes.
We can call this White Belt Radio After Dark.
White Belt Radio, we're just fucking dopey.
This is the episode in between 4 and 5.
Yeah, 4.5.
4.5.
Yeah.
4.5 would be funny about it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll do 5 tomorrow or something. All right, y'all. This is the conclusion of episode 4.5 of White Belt Radio. This is Pete checking out.
Yo.
Who are you?
Tony.
Tony.
Yo, Yanni.
Don't everybody say yo.
Cyrus, the not so white belt.
Cyrus, seriously, go back to class.
I'm going to go back to class.
I'm sick of hearing about the same stories over.
No, it's not the same story.
I'm always like, oh, wow. They're new to me. I don't know.
All right, y'all. 4.5. Checking out. Late.